Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, Faithfully Yours, part of the series Beyond Limits, the Fruit of the Spirit in Your Life, was given by Pastor Henry Hansen on Sunday, July 30th, 2023. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
So we're going to turn now to the Word of God. This is Galatians chapter 5 as we pick up in this series that we have. So let's hear the Word of God. I'll start from verse 16. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Why don't we just pause for a moment of prayer? Good and gracious God, it's always good for us to be here. We're thankful for the person sitting to our left and to our right, behind and before us, and how much encouragement we receive when we gather together as a community where we share in common both your promises and purposes for our lives. So for that, we give you thanks. And now we pray, O God, that your Spirit would be present, because we have not come to hear a human voice or opinion, but rather to hear from you, the living God. And so we ask now that your Spirit would illuminate heart, mind, and soul today. In Christ's powerful name, amen. Well, today we are continuing in our series of messages on the fruit of the Spirit, and we have just another few laps around the track, so to speak. We are looking today at faithfulness. Next week, Tammy Veach, who was a pastor here for a couple years as an intern, will be preaching on gentleness. And then finally, I will be preaching on self-control. And I know you're all waiting with bated breath for that one, right? It's going to be a rich topic. Prepared for an illustrious sermon on self-control. By the way, I offered this one to Pastor Ray. It was the first time he said no to me. Can you believe it? Go figure. Hopefully I'm equal to the task. You can be praying for me in my preparation. So today we are looking at faithfulness, and the Greek word here literally in this passage is pistis, which means faith. But interestingly enough, translators, and I looked at several commentators, translate this as faithfulness just based on the way that first century hearers would have heard the word faith in that context, which would have been faithfulness in embodying their faith in the day-to-day and ordinary of life. And I will be using faithfulness as synonymous with loyalty, commitment, and also trustworthiness. So I was hard-pressed this week to think about a good image or illustration to get us started, and I really pondered, well, who do I know in my life that is faithful, that would be a good model for us? And I have to be honest with you, this is where I first started, right here. I mean, that's the Mandalorian. That's my dog, the Mandalorian. We call him Mando. And I know he's faithful because no one else in my household licks my face when I arrive home. No one else, and lunges their body at the door and walks at my heels in lockstep through the hallway, right? You should see this with my wife. He loves Jenna. I mean, he is so devoted, especially to Jenna, but he loves his entire family. So I thought of this for loyalty, faithfulness, commitment. You'll notice there's not a cat up there. Sorry, yeah. They make you earn their affection. different animal. You know, God bless if you have a cat. Ask Ray sometime about his cat, by the way. I got stories about that cat. But faithfulness, loyalty, that's where I started. But what I want you to do this morning is to think a little bit about people in your life you would champion as faithful. Who do you know in your life is faithful? And you can think about that during the message, probably better just during the week. But with all these characteristics in the fruit of the Spirit, you could think about people who really model this well. I find that to be a very helpful way to be walking with God, is think about people who really embody this. So what we're going to do today is we are going to look at three figures in Scripture that can help us to wrestle with faithfulness, loyalty, commitment, trustworthiness in our own lives. And the first one we're going to go with may not be an obvious place to start this time of year, so I have a little pageantry to introduce him. Okay, so the reason I'm doing this is the first character we're going with today is Joseph in the birth narrative. So I want to just warm us up a little bit to be thinking Christmas right now. I know it's awkward. I know it's July, although there's never a bad time of year to listen to Christmas carols, in my humble opinion. But the first character we're going to go with is the character of Joseph. And just to segue into the actual passage from Matthew 1 of the birth narrative, preparation for Jesus, at this point, Mary and Joseph are betrothed to one another, which is a prolonged engagement, and she is said to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And this is where this passage picks off, because Joseph was a righteous man and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife and gave him the name Jesus. So I want to highlight here that Joseph's loyalty is being tested by God, being tested. And Joseph, you should know, there's this little earlier phrase in that passage. It said that Joseph was a righteous man. When you heard that, like me for the first time, you think, oh, it means he was a really good guy. He wanted to do the stand-up thing or what he thought was morally accurate. It's actually a title. It was a title in first century Judaism given to people who were particularly known for adherence to Jewish law. And it can be defined, this person was a tzaddik, which means righteous man. A tzaddik was someone who was righteous according to the strictest interpretation of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Law of Moses. A tzaddik was a title given to those of saintly or even mystical spiritual status. It was a saintly, godly person. So what's important here to know is, Joseph is a person of repute. And he must choose now, he is known in the community as this person, he must choose now between his reputation as a tzaddik or following the desires of God, because God is wanting him to stand by Mary and to see this plan come to full fruition. Well, here's the thing that a tzaddik would know, and also people in the community would know, he would know, and it's this. This is from Deuteronomy. If a woman pledged to be married was found with child, and the child's father is not her husband-to-be, she should be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the men of the town shall stone her to death. So Joseph's reputation is on the line. Because who is going to believe the story that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Try sharing that one with your friends. Okay? Right. It would look funny. These two have not had relations. And she's saying, yeah, well, they're both saying, yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. Okay? So his reputation's on the line as a tzaddik to carry out what Deuteronomy says. I mean, stoning to death. So his reputation is on the line. And what he's doing is showing steadfast loyalty to God and for this plan for Mary and Joseph's life. And he stands by her. And the reason I wanted to start here is that sometimes, friends, God will test our loyalty to him. God will test our loyalty. We believe in an active, living, breathing God. And it's good to be mindful in our everyday, ordinary decisions when those moments might arise. We all make a lot of decisions, right? Every day, choices. Are there moments that you face where maybe God is testing your loyalty? Maybe your loyalty between him and your work. Some of us have a tendency to idolize our work. Maybe it's between your work and your spouse, or there's some other tension in your life where God is testing your loyalty ultimately to put your faith first. But God can do that in our own lives. And it's good for us to consider when those moments are. Not too long ago, I talked to somebody who was making a decision about their own personal vocation. And this individual said to me, I'm changing my vocation. And actually, most of the people around me, except for those really closest, including my spouse, are not in full support. They had other desires for my life. But I made this change, and I experienced so much joy and fulfillment in what I'm doing now compared to what I was. It was very clear that God was calling me to this other thing, and I had to make a decision, though it would be maybe at the cost of some other relationships and people that wanted me to do something else. Sometimes you may face that in your life, a loyalty to God's desire, and we know how much was hanging in the balance in this story with Joseph and standing by Mary, standing, doing what God desired, and the ultimate outcome of the birth of Jesus. So I want to start here with loyalty tested. But also another character I want to introduce, the second one for this morning, is the Old Testament. This is the character of Ruth. By the way, it's really important for us to be championing the faith narratives of women in the Bible, because there's so much to draw from. Ruth is a really important one. And so here you have one of the most famous lines in all of Scripture that many of you may be familiar with. And Ruth says this to her mother-in-law: "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." It's really a very touching thing that Ruth is communicating to Naomi, to her mother-in-law. By the way, we hear this oftentimes read at weddings, and all fine and well if you did, but really this story is about entirely different. But Ruth here is wanting to show loyalty to her mother-in-law, to Naomi. And she's going to follow her back to Judea. And you should know at what a cost this will come. This story, in so many ways, is actually about immigration. It's about an immigrant. Now, ultimately, while she is there, while she returns to Judea, God meets her there as she cares for her mother-in-law. And she eventually is remarried to a man named Boaz, and they have offspring, and she becomes the great-grandmother to David in the Bible. So it's this really remarkable story, but it would come at a very significant cost to Ruth to make this journey with Naomi back to Judea. And there are numerous things I really am touched by in this passage. First, the loyalty to Naomi, the human element. But there's this really amazing verse here where she says, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. And she's making a statement about following Yahweh with her life, and also about being committed to the people that Naomi is committed to. And friends, as I think about this passage in the Bible, as I think about that commitment, it makes me think about the people we are committed to and what's important to us. Individually, the people that we are loyal to, and also the community of belonging that we find ourselves in. You may or may not have heard but there is a very significant concert at Levi Stadium the last two nights, okay? Did you hear that Taylor Swift was in town and drew out, some of you were there, I can tell, drew out 60,000 people to Levi for two nights in a row, people from all over California, people from all over the country for that matter, even though, you know, she had done a nationwide tour. All these people came. And talk about loyalty and faithfulness and commitment, right? What people were willing to shell out for those tickets, the commitment while they're there, the trading of the bracelets and the glitter on the face and wearing all the songs of the verses, the song verses on their shirts, right? So it was very, very extensive. People are huge fans of her music. You know, sometimes I think about that. I think about something like that. And it occurs to me that week by week, and no offense to anyone here, there is something on greater display in Christian worship, right? No, not me, by the way. We come here to worship Christ, right? We come here to worship Christ. And we are saying to one another, your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. And obviously, this is your own faith, not just theirs, but we're making a commitment to each other. This is a commitment of faithfulness, of loyalty, of trust in God. Your God is my God, and your people are my people. Which all this is to say, friends, I want to offer another encouragement. When you're in town, be here on Sunday. There's something so powerful that comes here. There's something so much greater on display than just merely music or a message. We believe when we come together, when your God is my God and you are my people and we're all together, where two or three are gathered, Almighty God is present here. And so our loyalty and commitment, not only to Christ, but how it exhibits itself by being together in Christian community, is really important. Your God, friends, is my God. Your people, my people. And also finding our sense of belonging and identity here as well. And I also want to mention that in saying your God is my God, your people my God, is to remember that Almighty God has entrusted the resources of this church to our precious care, all the resources of this church, and that we make this church what it is through our loyalty, our steadfastness, our commitment by not just being here, but finding ways we can contribute and build up the kingdom on earth. You know, you've heard a lot from the pastors here the last few weeks about this this loneliness epidemic. And friends, I just want to say, I know that applies to some of you. You feel a lot of isolation during the week, and we see that in the community. And we want to encourage other people out there who maybe don't belong to a faith community. Yeah, your God's my God, your people, my people. I want to be part of what you are a part of, because it looks so powerful and it's having such a positive impact on your life. So loyalty to God and friends, loyalty to one another. But the last example I want to draw from here in this message this morning is not just one person, but really the entire New Testament, the entire New Testament witness. Because the Apostle Paul constantly spoke of loyal faithfulness when it came to talking about the church and Christians. He said, referred to companions as faithful brothers, including Timothy, Epaphras, Onesimus, Tychicus, and Apelles. And then also so many women that were lauded in the New Testament, including Phoebe, Priscilla, Mary, Junia, Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Paris, all who worked very hard in the Lord. And that's just Romans chapter 16. The Epistle John commends Gaius for his faithfulness to the truth and that he's being faithful to what he is doing for his brothers and sisters. Peter commends Silas, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying, this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. All this is to say, friends, is that faithfulness is heralded in the New Testament, and you and I should be known in different areas of our lives as faithful, as loyal, and as trustworthy. Loyal and faithful in friendships. Loyal and faithful in marriage. And I don't just mean sexual fidelity. I mean in the way that we care for our spouse. We put them first before their work and other areas of our life. This should be true of of our friendships. This should be true of our working relationships. Do people say about us that we're trustworthy, that we pull our weight at work, that we are a trustworthy person? You're a reliable person. People would look to you and they'll always say, yes, you are. That person is reliable. And also in our own witness here, as being known as people who are there for the Christian cause, committed to the kingdom of God, trustworthy with the gifts of God. And so I want to ask these questions of us today, and that is, am I a faithful person? Am I trustworthy? Do I keep secrets? Do I maintain confidences? Do people say that about you, that you are good about keeping confidences, not gossiping, not talking unnecessarily about other things you shouldn't be talking about, but confidences? And are you reliable? Do people say that about you? You are a reliable person. Also, am I a faithful coworker, keeping confidences, working diligently, contributing to the greater work that is around me? Will people describe me as a loyal spouse, as a faithful friend, as a trusted colleague, and a reliable person? Am I faithful? Is faithfulness, loyalty, and trustworthiness a way that people would describe you and me? And is it a way that God would describe you and me? Which is a really important question. I shared this at the last service, and I'll share it again here, just very vulnerably being open. Earlier this summer, I did some, you know, introspective work. I just do that from time to time. You probably all do too, and summer's a good time to do that. And I think about some of the things that I was praying about, I say 20 years ago, and then even maybe about 15 years ago. And there were some things that God was saying no to me about, and some things God was saying not yet about, right? And I've looked back at some of those things at that time, and it was also God's gentle way of saying to me, and you may not be used to hearing a pastor talk about this so candidly, but God's way of saying to me, you are not yet trustworthy enough to have the things that you were praying for. You're not ready. You're not ready. There's too much of you in these prayers. Not enough of me, not enough of my kingdom. I look back with such deep gratitude for those no's and those not yet's. And as someone else said at the last service, after the last service, those responses from God, you've got to be kidding me. Right? Right? Because sometimes God says that too. You've got to be kidding me. You're asking for that still, right? I'm so grateful. I truly am. And I look back with that perspective of things. No, Henry, you weren't trustworthy for those things yet. And I say this to you, friend, because you might be out there, you're praying earnestly right now. Has it occurred to you, you might not be trustworthy? I know it's a hard truth. It's not something you want to hear about, think about. You want to be encouraged when you're here, and I understand. But it's important to think about the divine element and the divine perspective in our prayer life. There are just simply things that we are in a position, we're just not trustworthy enough yet. We need more of God in our life. We need more of our identity being rooted in Christ and his kingdom. It's a good filter sometimes too, as we look through the things we pray about. Why am I praying about this? What does this have to do with the kingdom of God as I'm asking for it? And if I have this thing, will I really be trustworthy? Am I truly ready? I want to end on a note of good news, and that is just simply that we get our faithfulness ultimately not from our own initiative, not our own effort. I don't want us to leave here today just thinking you've got to try harder, but for us to remember that we serve a faithful God. I mean, look at it throughout the Old Testament, especially the Psalms. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. The word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. It's just simply throughout the Old Testament, God is described as a faithful God. And there's one commentator who asked this really great question and makes this point. He said, you know, consider that you ask the psalmist, or someone in the Old Testament, why is it that they have described God as faithful? How has God earned this title as being faithful? And that person will respond to you and say, well, did I ever tell you about that time about Abraham and Sarah? Did you ever hear about that story? Did you ever hear? Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was retired. He was wealthy, he was doing fine, but they were lacking this one thing. They didn't have a child. And then God showed up one time on their doorstep and said, you know what, Sarah, you're gonna bear a son. And she laughed, and God said, you know, not only that, you're gonna have offspring so numerous, you're gonna start a nation. And God fulfilled that promise and made that commitment. Did you ever hear about that story? The story of God's faithfulness. And then he would say to you, and did you ever hear the one about Moses? That bumbler who had no public speaking skills at all whatsoever. He killed a slave trader. He fled from Egypt, the greatest superpower in the world. He left and he went to Midian. God approaches him in a burning bush and says, you're gonna free the Israelites from the great superpower in the world in Egypt, from slavery. Moses said, I can't speak worth a beans. God says, yeah, I'm clear on that. I know you're gonna go with Aaron. It's gonna be fine. And he goes and he speaks to Pharaoh and gives his vision given to him from God. And then Pharaoh tells Moses where he can put that vision, right? No, it's not gonna happen. And then there are all these things that happened afterwards. Moses said, yeah, well, it is gonna happen eventually. And then there was gnats and there was frogs and there was hail and storms. And then eventually Pharaoh got the message because, you know, the Egyptian army went after them and they fled, and then part of the Red Sea, and the Israelites got through and freed God's people, his nation, from slavery. Or did you hear the story about God's faithfulness toward Joshua in the walls of Jericho? And all he had was this little bullhorn, and he was told by God, you're gonna take down all these walls, you're gonna conquer this territory. Did you hear about that? Yeah, and they did it. And all these walls came tumbling down and they took over the land. And did you hear this final story? And this will be more of a first century follower. Did you hear that one story about God sending his only son? Did you hear about that one? Did you hear about that? What he did? Yeah, he was born in a feeding trough. Really, really sloppy how it all started. He was a refugee to Egypt. He was on the hunt by Herod. And then he eventually settles down. He becomes a peasant, really sad peasant in Nazareth, this nothing town. And then God raises him up and he has this amazing earthly ministry. He's defying all these religious authorities and they're on the hunt for him. Miraculously, he survives 3 years of all that. But eventually they got to him. And then they strung him up on a cross and he died to atone for human sin. But did you hear about the third day? Did you hear about that? God's so faithful. He brought him up out of the tomb on the third day. And friends, all this is to say is throughout the scriptures, we have the testimony of a good and faithful God who fulfills his promises in our lives. And so as we seek to be faithful and to be known as people who are faithful, trustworthy, loyal, and committed, don't go at it alone. All the fruit of the Spirit are characteristics of God, right? Love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all traits of our God. And so the importance of all of this is what the scripture in Galatians says itself, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life, to be by being in lockstep with him in the day-to-day and ordinary, and receiving that strength from God. And friends, may you and I, may we be known for our faithfulness, our loyalty, our steadfastness, our commitments to God. And friends, may we be known also in our treatment toward neighbor, toward others. Join me in prayer. God, we're so tempted right now to do all this by our own effort. It's only human. And so we are mindful that the Holy Spirit, which is the one that brought us to faith, which testifies to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and points us to Holy Scripture, that he can do the heavy lifting if we'll let him. And so wherever we are in our journey of loyalty, faithfulness, of commitment, of being trustworthy, Lord, would you guide us on that next step? Would you give us humility to know that we can make space for your Spirit to abide in our hearts and minister us, oh God, because in the world we're living in right now, there is a great need for an apologetic for our faith and the importance of Christian virtue and Christian community. God, may we be known as people who are faithful, loyal, committed, trustworthy toward you, toward others. May that be our name, in Christ's name.